Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to my first episode. Yay! Woo! I am your host, Hannah Mariah, and I just wanted to kind of introduce myself on this first episode. And yeah, just kind of let you guys get to know me and my background and all of that. So yeah, as I said, my name is Hannah Mariah. Next week I will be turning 21, and yes, I am the second child out of five. So I have four siblings, one older sister and three younger brothers. And all three brothers are still at home. So my house is very loud all the time. And I, by day, am a barista. I have had my barista job since December of 2020, and I absolutely love it. I have always loved coffee. I've drank it every single day since I was probably 14. So I have always been interested in being a barista. So it's actually really, really funny because the coffee shop that I work at, I have actually always wanted to work there since it opened, because it opened like around 3 years ago. And ever since it opened, I was just like, wow, this coffee shop is so cool and I would love to work here. And so I used to work at Chick-fil-A. And so whenever I was done with that job and looking for another one, that was one of the first places I applied because, yeah, I just loved that coffee shop. And so now I've been there for 6 months and I love it. My boss is super cool. I have super cool coworkers and we have awesome regular customers. So yeah, I am loving it there. I also do photography. I actually have my own photography business. It's not as active as it could be if I like put more effort into growing it and all of that. But I am very happy with where it's at because photography is just so fun to me. It's when I first started investing in all of my equipment, right? And like all of the editing software and my cameras and all of that. I just remember thinking like, wow, even if I never make any money, it'll be worth it because I love photography so much. So that's definitely something. That's one of my passions. So yeah, it's fun whether I'm making money doing photography or not. It's just so much fun. So it's definitely worth it to me. Some other random things that I love road trips so much. I love music. So road trips and music, hello, perfect combo. And add a coffee in there. Are you kidding me? That's like where life is at its best. And so, yeah, I really want to travel. I definitely want to see the world. I've been super boring up to this point and I have not been far from my little state of New Mexico. But I want to change that as soon as I can. I actually have a running list on my phone and it's like it's called something like places I want to see before I die. And it's funny because a lot of the places are actually in the United States. So it's like very easy to do. It's very like very much a possibility to do. So I just need to, do it. And I definitely want to. So that's on the bucket list. So I just love anything that has to do with like creativity, honestly, like arts and crafts, anything like that. Sometimes I make like home decor. I was actually going to open my own like little Etsy shop, because I got really into like making home decor for a while there. But I've always just had like a creative outlet like that. Like whenever I was younger, it was makeup. I did my makeup. I've done four brides, I believe. I've done four brides makeup. I've done makeup for prom and homecoming for my friends and all of that. So yeah, it was makeup and then photography, obviously. And then, yeah, like I said, I got into home decor and stuff like that. So as long as it's like a creative outlet, I just love doing it and enjoy it so much. So a little more about my background. I actually grew up in a Christian home. So I grew up going to church regularly. My family never really had a consistent church. I don't even know what's the longest we've stayed at a church. Probably this past time, which was like 3 or 4 years, I think. So yeah, we've just kind of like church hopped my whole childhood. Anywhere from like places in town that were actually in the town that I grew up in. Or sometimes we would even go to churches that were out of town. Now, that being said, I didn't truly get saved until I was around 15. So my story is a little different because I don't have an exact moment that I can think back on and say, like, on this day, at this time, I got saved. You know, I got on my knees and I prayed the prayer and, you know, all of that. I didn't really have that that moment, I guess you could say, that I can look back on and point to. It was just kind of a time in my life. And I do want to do an episode where I just tell my whole testimony and give context to everything that was happening. But this is just a brief introduction to me and just so you guys, you know, have some context of where I'm coming from whenever I do approach these subjects. So I'll try to make this quick. So anyway, it was around the time that I was like 15, and I just realized that growing up in church and, you know, doing all the like quote unquote Christian things does not equal salvation, right? Like it has to be from the heart. It has to be your decision. It can't be faith, your parents' faith. It can't be, you know, just something that you did growing up and that you still kind of hold on to. Like, no, it's you know, a moment of surrender, right? Like a time that you surrender your whole life to Jesus and then give your life and follow him after that. So during that time, when I was 15, I was just going through just so much, and I had so much hatred in my heart, and I was just a very bitter and angry person. Again, you know, I will go into more detail about all of that in the episode that I talk about my testimony, but and that's how I know, that's how I personally know Jesus. That's how I know that he's real. That's how I know that his love and his grace, those things are so real and so active today, because the person that I was then is so different. I mean, Jesus truly, truly changed me. And I shiver to think where I'd be now if he hadn't have saved me. Because like I said, from a very, very young age, I was very, very angry, very bitter. And like hatred does, it doesn't just affect that one thing that you hate, right? That one person that you hate, it doesn't just affect that relationship. It affects your whole being. It affects your whole, just soul. It just, sucks the life out of you. And so, by 15, it was like, I carried this hatred for so long that I couldn't anymore. And I was just too tired to even keep living the way that I was living, because it was just consuming me. And so anyway, yeah, I surrendered. And like I said, it wasn't exactly like in one moment. It was just kind of that time of my life that I realized that like I didn't have my own faith, that up to that point, I just grew up in a Christian household, but that I didn't truly know what it meant to follow Christ myself. And so, yeah, so that's kind of just a brief version of my testimony. So ever since I have gotten saved in high school, like kind of almost like right whenever I did get saved, God just showed me that I would be going into ministry and missions, and that I wouldn't be going into a career. So from high school, I knew that I wasn't going to go to college, and all throughout high school, and even still, okay, I'm almost 21, and even still, I get so much, I don't want to say, like, so much hate, because it's not hate, but it's, like, even within the church, I get so many people who tell me that, like, literally one time, this pastor's wife literally told me that I was throwing away my life because I wasn't going to college, and I was so taken back whenever she was telling me this, because I had heard it from so many people, you know, like every time that somebody would say, what school are you going to after you graduate? I would like cringe because I knew that I was about to be lectured on like why it's a horrible decision to not go to college, which that should be a whole nother episode is like college and people's view on it. But anyway, so I would like cringe every time somebody would ask me that question just because I knew that no one would be understanding. But I had to come to a point where it was like, I knew for a fact that God had showed me that, that God had told me that to not go to college. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape or form that that means that college is bad and God never calls anyone to go to college. I'm not saying that by any means. I think college can and is a great opportunity. It's a great way to go. If what you're going to do calls for that, then yes, by all means, you know, go to college and do what you need to do to get where you need to get to. But for me, that just wasn't the path that I needed to take. And so I knew that God had called me to that. But what was hard was, I didn't know what ministry he was going to call me to. If missions was even on the table, like I had kind of, felt led to missions, but it still wasn't like, you know, a for sure thing. So that was hard because it was like, I was in this place where I knew God told me not to go to college, but then it stopped there. Like he didn't say, don't go to college, go here. It was just, you know, that I knew he called me to missions and ministry. So anyway, like I said, that answer is like never enough for people. every time I would say that, it was like, you know, just like the weird looks and the long lectures. But that one lady who I was saying that pastor's wife, that kind of like shocked me the most because she was the pastor's wife. And because out of everyone, like I thought she would be the most understanding, you know, like, oh yeah, if God told you that, then, you know, you need to have faith and stick to it no matter what. But she was kind of the most intense person about it of like, nope, you're throwing away your life. And so anyway, that just kind of, like I said, that just kind of shocked me because, I got that from everyone, but I just didn't expect it so much in the church, I guess. So during and after high school, I was involved with different ministries. I was involved with this one called Bible Alive Theater, and it's basically where they took scripture and they turned it into musicals, and it's as funny and entertaining as it sounds. The shows were great. There was a lot of branches. There was two in New Mexico, one in like Michigan, there was one in Texas. And then obviously since the pandemic and all of that, you know, it's not been able to thrive, unfortunately. But from like 20, I think I joined in 2016. And from 2016 all the way to like 2019, I was very involved. And I was actually rising in leadership. So it's funny because whenever I first joined, it was because their makeup person had just left. And like I said earlier, I did makeup, and theater makeup is so much fun because it's so dramatic and it's really fun because you kind of have to be educated on the culture and time that they were portraying. So like whether they were in Egypt or, you know, like whatever period of the Bible they were portraying, you had to do it according to that. And so it was kind of fun too, because it wasn't just makeup. Like I also had to do like research on, you know, what they would have looked like back then and all of that. So anyway, so in 2016, it was just funny because I was just there for the makeup and I was like, yeah, I will never be in a play. Okay. Like I don't want to act and sing, none of that, just the makeup. And so it's just funny because it was like the first play I did the makeup, the second play, I was like a little part of, I had like the little acting part. And then by the, I think like the third or fourth play, like I directed the entire play and I loved directing. Oh my gosh. It just, yeah, to take a script and make it come to life in the vision that you see it happening. Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. And then I was going to become like the ministry leader over the branch that was in my hometown. But then some things happened and, the ministry kind of just had to step back altogether. So anyway, after that, I was very involved at the church that we were going to, every service that they had, every prayer service that they had, just any activity in and out of Sunday, I was there and just very involved. I was on the worship team. I play piano and I attempt to sing. I don't say I sing because because I don't sing. I attempt to sing anyway, but I did that on the worship team and it was a lot of fun and I really loved it. And so, yeah, so anyway, so yeah, I've been involved in and out with ministry basically since I've been saved, and God has always opened a door for ministry with me, right? God has always opened a place that I can pour out my heart and soul into, whether it's people or it's a play or it's a song or whatever it is. God has always opened a door for me to just pour into, which I love. And then with missions, it's actually funny because since I was little, I have always felt a calling to mission. So it's crazy because my mom was going through some old, she was cleaning out this cabinet and she found this old, I think it was like a magazine that my older sister had made. And it was so cute. She was like super young and she went and interviewed the whole family and then like wrote down in the magazine, like the interview and what we had said. And in my interview, I don't remember how old I was, but I was little. I was like around like 6 or something. And she asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, a missionary. And it was just so funny when we found that because I didn't realize that I knew that was something since I was that young. So like I said, whenever God had called me to ministry, I knew missions was going to be a part of that. And I've always said, like, I know I'm going to be a part of missions in one way or another, whether that's going or sending. So whether I actually go out on the mission field, or whether I just contribute, in sending people, you know, whether that be financially or whatever that might look like, I just know that, that I will be involved with missions in some way. So anyway, it was just so crazy to see that though, because I was so young. And it's just funny because I remember writing in my journals whenever I was a little girl and saying, like my dad would show us these old missionary video or cartoons of like real missionaries, but it's just like in cartoon form or whatever. And whenever I would watch them, the feeling that I had is funny because it's still the same feeling now as an adult whenever I think about missions. And it's not like exciting, but it's like, it just makes sense. I can't explain the feeling, but it's just like, yeah, like that's it. That's what I'm supposed to do. And it's the same feeling whenever I was little. So like I said, I would be writing like in my journal and I would say like, I think God is calling me to be a missionary and, you know, all this stuff, even when I was little, and that feeling hasn't changed or gone away. And it's still the same feeling of just like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. So anyway, that's just kind of my background with church and Christianity and where I'm, you know, at now and all of that. So now to move on to this podcast. So the reason why I started this podcast is actually really funny because I was actually going to start another podcast with someone else. And we actually got pretty far into starting it. Like I had made our cover photo for it. We had already named it. We had already come up with different episodes that we were going to do. And it was like a thing and it was like pretty far into the making. But a bunch of things fell through and basically at the end, like we both just decided that it would be best if we didn't do it, which did end up being for the best just for the whole situation. But that actually started as a joke because one time me and this person were just having conversation and I made a joke and I was like, that would be a really good podcast. And the person agreed. He was like, yeah, like that would be a good podcast. And so the more we start talking about it, the more we're like, should we make a podcast? And so anyway, that kind of started that. And like I said, things just fell through. And as they were, I told this person, like, I just went to him and I was like, hey, like if like this doesn't work out, like that's fine. Because while we were making this podcast, I had the idea for this one and was so excited for it. And then I actually kind of got cold feet with the other one too, because I was like, I don't want to have like too much on my plate, right? Like running two podcasts is a lot, especially because like I said, I have my photography as well and just some other things that are going on in life and all of that. So anyway, and so it was actually kind of a blessing in disguise when the other one fell through, just because, like I said, it was for the best that it did just for that entire situation. And then I really could focus on this one. And so it's just funny because like this podcast started as a joke and it wasn't even for this one. It was for another one. So it's just kind of funny how we got here. So if you've listened to my trailer, then you have an idea of what this podcast will be. What I want out of it. So I want to interview different people, Christians and non-Christians, right? Like, I just want different perspectives. I want to talk about people's experience with God's calling and how they knew and how they got there, how they practically made things happen. And I also want to interview non-Christians, people who you know, grew up in a Christian home and now they're not walking, and just their perspective of, like, you know, what happened and why. And I want to talk to people who just have different beliefs, and just to see, you know, the similarities and the dissimilarities between, you know, just different perspectives. I just want, you know, to bring different perspectives to the table. I want to go over, you know, myself, extremes in the church. I want to talk about, you know, topics that, like, people just take way, way to an extreme, and that just bring it, you know, back to a balance and just have discussion about it. So anyway, there's a lot I want to do in this podcast, and I'm very excited to go over everything that I want to go over. In today's episode, we will be talking about alcohol. This was one of the first subjects that I thought about doing whenever I started thinking about my podcast, because that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about extremes in the church. That's the first topic that comes to mind whenever I think about a thing that people take either way to one side or way to the other. And when I was talking to my mom about what I should do for my first episode, she was like, well, in light of you turning 21, your first episode should be about alcohol, since you're going to do that anyway. So I just want to have a discussion about it. So first, I want to talk about the culture behind alcohol, how different places deal with alcohol, and what the Bible says about it. So first, I want to talk about it within the church, like its place within the church, what the Bible says about it, and then how Christians take that. So in the Bible, if you actually study that time and just the food and drink culture, alcohol was actually cleaner than their water. So because of the times that they lived in, right, and the lack of technology that they had to clean and purify different foods and drinks, wine was it was so common that it was a norm, right? So fast forward to today in America specifically, so many people don't drink that it's a common enough question to ask. Like, it's a normal thing if you asked someone if they drank or not, because there's enough people who don't drink that you could ask that question and it's not going to be weird. It's not going to be like, why would they not drink? because it's just a normal enough thing today in today's world. Whereas back then, it wasn't. It was very much the culture to drink. And it's still like that around in certain places in the world, even today. But just America specifically, I'm saying, to use as an example. But even, like I said, today in different cultures, there are places that is just the thing. Like, you drink. There's not a if or but about it. But the reasoning for back then of why it was part of the culture is because of that, because the wine was actually cleaner than the water. So this is actually why Paul tells Timothy that he should drink wine to help his stomach, because the water was unclean, and most likely that was the reason that his stomach was upset. So that's 1 Timothy 5:23, and I'm just going to read it super quick. So Paul says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So Timothy was having all of these issues. And so Paul literally told him, like, to help your stomach and all of these other things that are going on, you should start drinking a little bit of wine for that reason, because it was cleaner and all of that. So, I did just want to give that context. And also, Jesus himself drank. And again, it was, that's just what you did. everyone did. So an obvious example is whenever he turned water into wine at that wedding. That's an obvious example. But then also in Matthew 11, 18 through 19, he says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." So he's actually calling out the Pharisees in the context of this verse. Like, the point isn't that he drank and that John didn't. The point is that he was saying that they can't use that as an excuse because John didn't drink and they still, you know, accused him of being wrong. So and then that same passage, but a different gospel, is Luke 7:34. It's the same story, just a different gospel. So those are two examples of Jesus drinking. And so, but to go over this really, really quick. So Jesus, you know, said there that he does drink, but John didn't. So throughout the Bible, there's been instances where God has commanded certain people not to drink. So a couple examples would be John the Baptist and Samson in the Old Testament. But like I said, because the culture that was the norm, it was very unusual for a person to not drink. it was a very big deal, and you stood out very much. So it's not like today whenever somebody doesn't drink, because you might stand out if you don't drink, but back then you wouldn't find somebody else who didn't drink. So it was a big deal that John the Baptist and Samson didn't drink, and there are specific reasons on why God told them specifically not to. And that's actually a very interesting study. And if you are interested, you should definitely study that in depth, because it is a very interesting thing to see, you know, why specifically God told them to not drink and why. So anyway, but I did just want to get that out of the way. One, that Jesus did drink. Jesus himself did drink. And two, God does tell specific people to not drink. Okay, now that that is out of the way, let's talk about what the Bible says about alcohol specifically. First and foremost, most of the time when the Bible is talking about alcohol, it is talking about to not be a drunkard or to not get drunk, right? So I'm just going to go over some verses super quick that talk about that. So the first one is Ephesians 5:18. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Right? So what it's saying here is to let your satisfaction be to be filled with the Spirit, right? Like, that's where you get your joy, your wine down, your, you know, everything that we as humans use alcohol for. This verse is saying, don't use alcohol for those reasons, but be filled with the Spirit, right? To be content, to be satisfied in the Spirit. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and it gives a list of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God, and drunkards are on that list. Another one is Galatians 5, 19, and that also gives a list of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then 1 Timothy 3:8, he's going over the qualifications of deacons. And so it says that they must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, and not greedy for money. So that's actually a qualification for both an elder and a deacon, and actually also a elder and deacon's wife. So Titus 2:3, it talks about that. And it also just talks about older women as a whole in Titus. In this verse, it says, "Older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And then it goes on. Anyway, so I think that that's really cool, that that's literally a qualification to be an elder, a deacon, or even their wives, right? Because whenever a man goes into leadership, a man or a woman, right, it's them and their family are held to higher standards biblically. So it's not just them who, you know, cannot be given over to much wine, not be drunk, all of that. It's the family unit, right? The man and the wife both have to be qualified, which is, I think, is really awesome. So that's the obvious statements that the Bible says, right? Is don't get drunk. Don't be drunkards. Don't be, you know, addicted. Don't be addicted. And so, yeah, those are, that's like a list of scripture that gives that blunt commandment. But then it's interesting because in 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or reviler or a drunkard or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." Whoa. That is such an intense verse, and it's one that society today does not like, right? So it's literally saying to not even eat with such a person that, but the hook here is someone who is named a brother, meaning when someone is claiming Christianity, right? Claiming Christ, claiming to be a Christian, to follow God, and they're living in this way, to not even eat with them. So some people would argue that that is not a loving thing. You know, that tough love isn't love, all of that. But here's the thing. Paul here is not saying that anyone who's a drunkard, anyone period, right? He's not talking about the world. So Jesus himself, right, ate with sinners. He was known for that. That's why the Pharisees hated him. It's because that was his crowd, was sinners. So Paul isn't saying to not eat with sinners. That would be weird. That would go against everything that Christ came to do. He's not at all saying that. He's saying don't associate, don't eat. So I say associate because it says to not even eat with such a one. So especially back then, to eat with someone was to show fellowship, was to show that dining was a very intimate thing. Like it was not just a casual thing to break bread with someone. That showed fellowship, right? So he's saying don't show fellowship with those people. And the reason why is because if someone is claiming to be a Christian and then living the exact same way that the world does, the world is going to look at that and not want to change. Because if they look at the church and they just see themselves, they're not going to, why would they want to change? Why would they want Christ? But whenever they look at the church and see Christ, that's what brings them to their knees. And so what Paul is saying here is don't eat with so-called brothers who are living this way, because that's not a godly way to live, right? So that either, so they need to first of all repent, but if not that, they need to not be called a brother. They need to not associate with Christianity and drag Christ's name through the dirt, right? Because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing whenever you live a worldly, sinful life with no repentance, is you are taking Christ's name and dragging it through the dirt, right? You are saying basically that Christ can't change you, right? That there's nothing different in us than there is in the world, and which is just simply not true. And like I said, dragging his name through the dirt. So that's why Paul is saying that. So more than just don't be drunk, don't be a drunkard, the Bible even says, and don't associate with so-called Christians, quote unquote Christians, who are, don't even go as far as that, which is a very intense statement. And like I said, one that society today is usually not okay with. But whenever you ever come to scripture and there's something that you have to wrestle with, God always, God is good, right? God is merciful. So anytime that the Bible seems like it's contradicting itself, there is a reconciliation somewhere, but you do have to search for it. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of put that in there. So another thing that the Bible says about alcohol, In Ecclesiastes 9:7, it says, "Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works." And there's actually a couple psalms that talk about, that use that phrase to drink with a merry heart, or to drink and be merry. It's obviously not a sin to drink. Obviously, if Jesus did it, if Paul commands Timothy to do it, I mean, that was for medical reasons, but still. And, you know, and like I said, in this verse and in some Psalms, you know, it talks about drinking wine and being merry, right? So it's not a sin to drink. The line of sin is to get drunk, right? So anyway, I just want to go over a few more verses before I move on to some other points. So I want to read Romans 14:21. It says, "It is good neither to eat meat nor to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." Whoa. So I personally love this verse. I'm going to read a couple more before I go on with my points about that. The other one I want to read is Romans 13:13. It says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." So basically the point of this verse is saying to be different, to walk in the light, right? To do the right thing, thus being different. So, and then the last verse that I'm going to read is 1 Peter 5:8. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So essentially that verse is again saying to be different, to be aware, to, you know, be sober is exactly what it says. So those last two verses, I just wanted to read, in light of the rest of the verses, right? Because it's obvious, that it's not a sin to drink, period, right? Like if you sip on a glass of wine, if you, you know, do all of that. That in and of itself is not a sin. And there are so many scriptures that prove that. And then there's scripture that has the obvious, don't be a drunkard, don't get drunk. But the Romans 14:21 specifically, I love, because Paul is saying that anything that's going to make not just you yourself stumble, but somebody else, don't do it. And there's actually different places that Paul says that as well. It's just not in the context of drinking, but basically he's saying that out of love for your brother, do or don't do certain things. And so anyway, the Romans 14:21 is important to me though, because personally for me, that's what I stand by. That's what I go by. So I just want to give some context super quick. My mom was an alcoholic, is an alcoholic, right? Because it's a disease, it doesn't go away. She's been sober for ever since she's been saved, so 20 something years. But she was an alcoholic, and my grandpa was an alcoholic, and my sister is an alcoholic. And so my sister has been sober now for a while. But my sister specifically is kind of what I hold my view on it by, because so I don't drink. I'm not going to drink, right? I'm turning 21 and I'm not gonna drink. But the reason isn't because I have a conviction about it, right? It's not because I feel like it's a sin for me to drink, right? And I do feel like there are some people that it is just a sin for them to drink. Like God has called them to be different to the point of don't drink at all, period. You know, and especially for someone like my mom who has a past of drinking, she will never drink again for obvious reasons that go even outside of just her Christian convictions. But there's some people who I do believe that God tells not to drink. And even biblically, like I was saying, for Samson and John the Baptist, and it wasn't even, that wasn't even a normal thing. Like I said, it's a little more normal today when someone doesn't drink, but that wasn't the case back then. And God did specifically tell certain people to not drink for specific reasons. And I do believe that that still happens today. I do believe that it is wrong for some people to drink based on their conviction. And I do think that it is based on that a lot. But so my conviction, so it's funny because I actually don't even know if I personally have a conviction about drinking or not, but I'll never know because out of respect for my sister, for my mom, for my grandpa, I just won't drink like that. It would be kind of stupid for me to, because it runs in my family. And there's been some things in my life that I've almost have seen an addictive pattern, like in myself, like with non-threatening things. But because of that, it would be very dumb for me to do it with a threatening thing, like alcohol, especially, like I said, when it runs in my family. But just out of respect for my family, I just won't drink. And that's not to say that if you do that, that I think that's wrong. Obviously, we just went over all of the reasons why it's not. And so, yeah, whether you do or don't drink, that is completely, I think, up to you as a Christian on where your conviction lies and what your context with alcohol is. So with, like I was saying though, with my sister specifically, I saw it, I saw her, I saw alcohol take over her life and the things that it did. With her, it was more than just alcohol, but I saw her experience the things that she did and the, what it took to get sober. Right. And like I said, she has been sober, thank God, for a while now. But yeah, I watched that happen. And because I did watch that happen, it just kind of put the nail in the coffin. Right. And of like, yeah, I'm not going to drink. And also, yeah, like I said, just out of respect for my whole family, you know, who has fallen into that, I just think that it would be unloving of me to then go and drink, whether I can handle it or not, right? Like whether I would fall into that or not. I think for me personally, it would be dumb to see if I would. And also there's not a point. So out of love for them, I personally won't drink. So anyway, I just love that verse where Paul says that, because that's so resonates with me and my conviction, because like I said, my conviction isn't even about drinking. Like my conviction isn't like, oh, for me specifically, it'd be wrong. It's more just like, no, for me, out of love for my family, I'm not going to. And not to say that I won't ever take even a sip of alcohol at any point in my life. That's not what I'm saying either. I'm just saying as far as drinking, like as you know, culture wise and making it a habit or whatever. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, so that's where I stand with drinking. That's kind of my two cents on it. And again, that is just completely up to the person. But I also just want to talk really quick about what he says about making others fall, because, you know, even if you're not addicted to much wine, as the Bible puts it, right? But just out of love for your brother and sisters. Anyway, so that's just an example of what Paul was trying to point out, right? And kind of my perspective on why, you know, I won't drink is just because out of love for friends and family who are alcoholics. Yeah, that's just for me where my line is. And as far as the example that I just gave though, like if you know that someone is struggling with anything, right? Like it doesn't just have to be alcohol. If you know your friend is struggling with anything, and that's why Paul says it in a few places, and it's not, he doesn't even just say it about alcohol. But if your friend or family is struggling with anything, come alongside them and help them. You know, don't do something that's going to make them stumble. Don't do something that's gonna tempt them in any way or make them fall. Just out of love, you know, for that brother to help them and all of that. So anyway, that's kind of my spiel on this whole thing. I do want to end with a couple of questions though, that I would love if you guys responded to. I have an Instagram. I will say it in the outro, but my handle is at Alone Not Lonely Podcast. So if you go over there, if you head over there and you comment on my latest picture, answering these questions, and we can just keep the discussion going and bring more perspectives to the table, I just think that would be awesome. So a huge debate is, being buzzed the same thing as drunk, and is being buzzed a sin? So the reason why I like to get drunk is wrong, right? It's because you're being mastered by something, and the Bible says not to be mastered by anything. And it's the addictiveness of it that, and the influence of it that is wrong, right? And all of that. But also, like, the intention behind drinking can be wrong. But that's also the case with other things, like overeating, right? The Bible says that gluttony is a sin to overeat, and the intention behind that can be wrong. So whenever you are, you know, sad and you're depressed and you just want a pick-me-up, right? So you take that drink or you eat that donut, right? Like, that's the same intention, and it's actually the same sin. Just one consequence might be bigger, right? Like with the donut, if you eat the donut, then whenever you're already full, but you're going to treat yourself because you're sad, right? The consequence of that is going to be smaller than if you take that shot, you know, that shot of whiskey or whatever it may be, because you're sad and you want a pick me up. So at the root of it, it's the same sin. It's just going to be different consequences of drinking. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a bigger consequence for that typically than there is going to be for, you know, eating that donut. So anyway, so that's kind of like the sin behind it. And so some people debate, some even Christians, I was actually watching some videos of these Christians going over what that line is of sin. And they were saying that it's not a sin to get buzzed. It's a sin when you cross the line from buzzed to drunk. But then I've talked to other people who think that getting buzzed is the line, right? Like once you are buzzed, you're drunk. And if you get pulled over by a cop while you're driving and you're buzzed, you're still going to pay the consequence if you get, you know, as if you get pulled over and you're full on drunk or whatever. So anyway, and again, it might not be the same consequence, but that's their point is being buzzed is drunk. So anyway, I don't know. I don't have an opinion one way or another on what I think the line is. But I just think that would be a really interesting discussion and, a discussion that a lot of points and perspectives can be brought to the table. So if you want to head over to my Instagram and just comment what you think, if you think that getting buzzed and drunk are different, if they're the same, if you think that there is a difference, and also if you think where the line of sin specifically is, right? So if you think it's a sin to get buzzed, or if you think that the line is, no, it's okay to get buzzed, but it's the sin to drink. I would just love to keep this discussion going to, like I said, bring more perspectives to the table. So yeah, let me know. So yeah, that concludes this first episode, you guys. Yay. Thank you for sticking it out. If you've listened this far, if you didn't get too bored and click out, it just means the world. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay updated on new episodes and more, and let me know what you think about the things that we discussed today by following my page on Instagram. My handle is @AloneNotLonelyPodcast. I would love to hear from you. And if you feel so inclined, it would mean the world if you left me a review, as well as share this podcast with anyone and everyone. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.